This podcast is a proud member of the Pride 48 Podcasting Network. Check out more great shows at pride48.com.
Why? Why is it? Why is the pad not going to you?
It's ducking or something.
I haven't touched any settings.
Well, it's a piece of shit. What can I say? Technology. What are you going to do? I won some, you know, the Walmart brand own.
Like Sam's Own or something like
on
that.
Or on or
recording stopped.
It's a Walmart brand.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, of electronics.
Okay, sure.
I won at our retreat tonight. I won a 10-inch Walmart Android tablet. Nice. What am I going to do with that? Like, I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I have an iPad, so I don't need to, you know.
Yeah. I bought a Kindle Fire tablet, a little 7-inch Kindle Fire tablet. God, at this point, it must have been 10 years ago. It was like $35. Remember when they were selling them in like a 6-pack or something? Like, you can buy a 6-pack. Yeah. And they were only like $35 a piece. I bought that thing. That is the thing that when you and I went to visit Fatty and went to Universal Studios and everything, that was the tablet that I had that played podcasts when I sleep. Like, that is my nighttime tablet.
And you still use it?
I still use it to this day because all I do is just play podcasts on it. It's like it has Podcast Addict loaded on it, and it pulls in my podcast and it plays them every night. So it's like,
look at that.
I can't, you know, and it's not fast. Like, you know, when you have to make changes and stuff, it's not lightning fast, but it's 10 fucking years old. It can't be 10 years. That can't be 10 years old. I'm going to go to Amazon and check my orders here. Fire tablet. Search orders. No. It's only been 5 years. So no, I bought
so
it.
It's 5 years
I
old.
I bought it in 2020.
Well, there you go.
So everything I just said, forget that.
It's still old. 5 years is old as well, but not as old as 10.
Yeah, 10 is definitely older than 5.
10 is older
than
5.
Yeah, I think we can agree. We can agree on that.
I mean, that's one thing.
That is one thing that we can agree on. So
there may not be anything else.
My plan is you're probably not familiar with Denmark Vesey.
I know the country Denmark.
No, this is a man. This is a
and I
a
know
person.
there's a Vesey shoe.
Yeah.
Because it's advertised a lot on YouTube, but that's the only...
So, Denmark Vesey, a free black carpenter and leader, this is in 1822, by the way, meticulously organized what would have been one of the largest slave rebellions in U.S. history. The plan was to seize arsenals, kill the governor, and sail to Haiti, which was then a free black republic. The plot was discovered before it could be executed, leading to the arrest and execution of Vesey and dozens of co-conspirators. The event sent shockwaves through the South, resulting in much harsher laws restricting the lives of both enslaved and free black people. we're going to go learn about him in Charleston, but... I figured I would do a couple of deep research things on him and make a podcast that we could also listen to on the way up there. So we would,
are you going to be, oh, after I make this point, I have to take Sydney to pee because it's her pee time.
Okay. Am I going to be,
are you
going
to be correcting the tour guide? Excuse me, sir. I just read, we listened on the way here. To a summary of that was done by Notebook LM, and it said
we had this required training this week, and they got something wrong in the training. It was about AI, and they got something wrong. And so, in the little survey that you have to fill out at the end, I left the comment. It's like, by the way, what you said is not correct. You're thinking of this instead of that. I was one of the first people to take it because it showed up in my mailbox and it was an AI thing. And I was like, oh, I'll see what it is. And so like 2 hours later, I get a Teams message from somebody over in L&D, and there was basically like, we appreciate your feedback from the quiz and everything. We have updated the information and republished. And it was just like,
good.
Look at me changing lives for the better, Adam. Changing lives for the better.
I'll be back.
Go pee.
I'm not going to pee.
Well, Sydney can pee.
She's going to pee.
We listen to an AI hallucination that doesn't agree with you. Oh, Alice? Oh, wait, hold on. So you're saying that Gemini was wrong too. Okay, hold on. Let's get to the bottom of this. I'm going to go to, because the Gemini voice guy is not using Gemini Pro or whatever. So it's, so I'm going to ask here. It's like, worldwide, how many birthdays happen every day? I'll say approximately. Show your work and explain. All right, let's see it. We're gonna make it explain and show its work, Kathy Marshall, just for you. You know what? I want to talk about this microscope thing. okay. Oh, I have two choices. So we have to. Okay. So worldwide is estimated that approximately 22.6 million birthdays occur every day. Here's the calculation. The approximate daily birthdays equals the current world population divided by the number of days in a year. So the current world population divided by 365, assuming an even distribution of birthdays, which number's that big. Maybe you just have a different, so they're using 8.2 billion as their population. Actually, they used 8,232,000,000. And then they did 365. They didn't even do the quarter there. Yeah. 8,232,000,000 divided by 365 is 22,553,424.66. I love how it says approximately. It's interesting here. Oh, because when you add in the quarter, then it becomes 22,450. Yeah. I think choice A was a definite win. I think this one.
What would you say?
Yeah. What would I say to one?
Like a pot addict, what dosage
Dosage.
Would you say it takes them?
Dosage? What dosage? For what?
To get high. To feel it.
Oh, do you not feel it anymore?
Well, I go through these so quick now.
Quickly, yes.
Quickly. And I have these big, huge gummies that are 100 milligrams, and I can do half a one and barely feel it. That's 50 milligrams.
I don't believe that, though.
It is.
I don't believe
it's 50 milligrams?
I mean, how big is it?
they're 100 milligrams.
I do 10 milligram gummies.
Y'all are going to find me on the floor in some crack den. That big. It's 100.
I don't know.
I cut it in half. I know it is.
No, I'm just saying I don't know that I believe them, but okay.
Because the bag says it's 1,000 milligrams and there are 10 of those in there. So.
I don't know. I feel it on one.
It could be that I forgot to eat one.
That, you know what? That that probably has more to do with it than anything.
It could be.
Yeah, that probably has much more to do with it than anything. I wanted to, and you can tell me, I know it's late, so we don't have to go on for days. But I found this, all right, a couple of things. Number one, I found this new tool that I'm kind of cool. I'm kind of digging. It's called Recall.
Okay.
You can get it at getrecall.ai. But what it is you know,
learn faster, retain more.
Yeah. I'm going to share my screen here so I can
it's very technological looking. It's got like neurons, like, you know, and it's got things flowing.
It does. All right. So, wait, did I get the right thing? Are you seeing my recalls? Are you seeing this?
Yep.
Okay. So, essentially, what happens is if you're off, let's say you're on YouTube and you're watching a video. And there was a couple that I watched earlier tonight that I didn't pick up that I wanted to. So let me just go grab them. Okay. So like this particular video.
There's so
here,
many ridiculously
this,
new.
This is just a YouTube video. But if I click on my little recall X, you know, add-on,
yeah,
extension or whatever, you'll see that what it does here is it's basically given me a summary of that video.
Okay.
And I have it set to concise. I could move it up to detailed. I could take other notes on it or whatever I wanted to, and then I could save it if I wanted to. And when I save it, it goes over to my recall area here. But I can chat across all of the things that I have saved.
So it's like Notebook LM.
But it's Notebook LM across news stories and things, and it automatically categorizes things. You can see how it makes all these different categories, like there's AI, which is under technology and stuff like that. So it automatically...
So the way Notebook LM could kill this is just by adding a Chrome extension.
Yeah, but I don't know that, because this will,
saying that it's not good, but I mean,
yeah. But I'm just, well, all right. But what I'm saying is this makes it super easy because I can do it on my phone. I can do it on my desktop. I can do any news article I read, any, and it follows my login. So I, you know, if I, since I pay for the New York Times, I don't have to worry about, you know, it can summarize New York Times video, articles and stuff. But the really nice thing about it is, well, not the really nice, but the really cool thing about it is you can go to this graph here. This is the graph of topics that are covered in the news stories that I have bookmarked since I've been in. You can see how they kind of interconnect, right? So you can go up here and see, here's a topic about the European Union, Brussels effect, which came from market mechanism by which the European Union regulation. Oh, the Brussels effect came from a paper that I had read about, that MIT paper about 95% of AI failing and stuff, right? So it's,
I have a note taking app I use called Obsidian.
Yeah.
And it makes a mind map like this.
Yeah. But I don't know. I just really liked the ease. And I also just like, I constantly use this Gemini up here to like summarize stuff.
Uh-huh.
But I like, and especially because I have a hard time remembering things sometimes. Like, I know I read something last week about this and I don't remember where it was. Right now I can just bookmark it and, you know, not have to, and it automatically, or because that's the thing I hate about bookmarking stuff is I never know how to organize it. It just all goes into one fucking thing. And
yep.
It's like, so having it automatically categorize it for you and,
I don't use bookmarks. I just use the history because I start typing and it remembers the things that I had gone to. Yeah. So I'm like just typing things.
Yeah. But it's really, I don't know. I just really like it. So I especially
so
like
many things to pay for.
I especially like what this. It's not expensive.
You were about to say this is free, but you're paying for it.
There is a free version. Yeah, you can test it for free. But then
but you're paying for it.
I'm paying for it. Yeah. I don't know what it cost. I want to say what did I say the website was? GetRecall.ai. Let's see, pricing $7 a month. So it's,
did you pay for the year?
I didn't. You know what? I paid $10 for 1 month because I wasn't sure that I would like it. But now I absolutely, yes, I will probably pay the whatever 7 times 12 is. I don't know how to math. Mathing is hard.
It'd be 84, but maybe they give some kind of deal, like 70.
No, the
12 months for the price of 10.
Let's see.
You know, or whatever.
I think the $7 a month is the year. Yeah. So the monthly price is $10, but if you pay by okay. the year, it's only $7 a month. So you save.
So it's 84.
Yeah. $84. But you know what? I really, really want the actual Recall. I want, you know, the Microsoft one, but it's only for Copilot Plus PCs. But I do like the fact that even if I lose this article and everything, I keep the notes here. And I can chat with individual articles, right? And then you can see the connections here, right, to other topics and stuff. I don't know. It's kind of cool. It's like I'm very...
I don't research a lot of stuff. So, I mean, I'll have, you know, little like, oh, I wonder what so-and-so was in. Like a podcast I was listening to was talking about the lady from Happy Days, the mom from Happy Days. And he said, oh, she's the only one that's still alive. She's still acting and looking great. And I was like, there's no way she's still. So, you know, then I Googled whatever her name is, but, and she is 97, but 97. That's the kind of stuff. So I'll look stuff up when I'm sitting on the couch watching TV or listening to a podcast or whatever, but I don't do a lot of deep research. Like, oh, I want to take this article and, you know, really dig in and find.
So what I had, the reason I wanted to show you Recall was because I was about to use it to go find this article that I wanted to talk about. So Anthropic released a video this week about this paper, and the video was just very slow. I went and read the paper, and it's kind of, there, if I ask you to add 29 and 7.
36.
Okay. Now, how did you get there? What were the steps you took to get there?
Well, I mean, I just kind of knew, but 29 is one away from 30. So if you take one from 7, you get 6, and then you get 36. I mean, if you, you know.
So
that's probably how my brain thought about it.
So if you ask an LLM to show its work, it's probably going to cite back some written thing from a textbook, right? Like I added up the tens column and, you know, I added the ones column and then, you know, I stacked the numbers and did it. But so what Anthropic developed was this piece of software that they can inject into the LLM, to the neural network as it's generating answers. And it's like a microscope. Like, so it's like they can go in and actually see what areas of reasoning are lighting up and see what topics and areas are lighting up to try to figure out exactly how the things are working, because it is an unreliable narrator as to how it does things, right? And
like
we
an
do
MRI or like what when they do a they put you
could
in
yeah but and... I'm just saying it is literally you're looking at the actual vector graphs and going like, did this get hit, did this get, you know, and it's like, and it's fascinating. It's a fascinating paper, but I wanted to what they found out on the math thing was really cool. It turns out that when the LLM was asked, the LLM they were testing was Haiku, because this is Anthropic, so it's the Claude 3.5 Haiku was the LLM that was being tested, the one that was being under microscoped. So when you asked Claude 3.5 Haiku, 29 plus 7, it actually made two different calculations and then merged them. So it did one estimate of 29 is high enough that a 7, you know, something less than 10 is going to make it 30 something. So it's going to be 30 something. And then it just added up the ones column separately just to get the last digit. So it like estimated the answer and then, but it got the specific last digit, which ends up a lot of times being correct, but sometimes it's not correct. You know, it'll be off by things, but it was because it was doing this parallel. And I was like, that's kind of how I would have done it, right? That the 29 plus 7, right? I know that 9 plus 7 is going to end in 6. So I'm just shifting the one, right? So it's like, I'm kind of doing the same thing. I'm estimating at the tens column, but I'm looking for the specific of the ones. And I thought it was really cool. The other thing that I thought was really cool is, a lot of it's really, really cool, but they asked it to write poetry.
A haiku.
Well, it's the, not haiku, but they wanted it to rhyme with rabbit. Why am I not seeing that particular piece here?
Dag nabbit,
rabbit. Anyway, so even though LLMs are designed to predict the next token, right? That's what we've been told, right? This is how they work. They just predict the next token. They don't think ahead. They don't. You know, nobody, but it turns out that in the rhyming case, it identified a rhyming word and then built the sentence backwards from the rhyming word in order for it to make sense. So it actually thought ahead that, oh, because the first line ends in rabbit, I've got to have a word in the next line that rhymes with rabbit. I'll do habit. What would be a habit? You know, eating carrots is a habit, right? It's like, so, you know, it figured it out that way, which I thought was super cool, because it's not behaving like we thought they were behaving, right? It's not just going sequentially here. It is doing an amount of planning, which is kind of cool. And then the last thing that I thought was really cool was when it does things in different languages, it's still lighting up the same areas of the vector graph, which have a lot of different meanings, right? They stack a lot of meanings into each number there. But the... But essentially what they are arriving at is that it may have its own language outside of languages. Like it may have its own internal language outside of other languages because it lights up the exact same areas if it tells you.
I mean, it kind of does, doesn't it? Isn't it kind of just ones and zeros?
Yeah.
Because that's really all.
That's true.
Yeah.
But it's kind of cool because when it translates something like, I think the example that they gave had something to do with, can be broken down into three parts: operation, intervention. They basically gave it sentences to finish. Like the opposite of good is, and then it would give the answer. But that answer and the way that it thought about that answer stayed the same if you said give your answer in Chinese, give your answer in German, give your answer in whatever, implying that it was still using some internal language logic of going like, this is, I need to find something that is the opposite of this. The opposite of that is this idea. How do I say this idea in that language, right? So it was doing its thinking outside of the confines of the language, and the language is the last piece that it puts on there. It's a really fascinating paper. And as you can imagine, I gave it to Notebook LM and had made me a podcast about it so that I could listen to it in the podcast. It's really, I don't know. I don't know if you care about how they work or, you know, things like that.
It's interesting.
Not, but I find it all really fascinating. So
it's interesting. Like I said, I stopped because, you know, me and finishing things, but I started a big tutorial training thing on learning how to set up my own tensors and like doing all that kind of stuff and building, you know, all the way from scratch. But because I wanted to learn how it works, but whoa, it's complex.
It is.
Very mathematical. You have to be very mathematical.
Actually, I think that the part that fascinates me the most right now is that the hacking of it is in English, right? So it's like the hacking of it all has to do with poisoning context and confusing the LLM to get it to answer, like using its pre-assigned biases. Like once it turns out that once it starts answering a question, it has to finish answering the question. Like it, before any of the guardrails have it, it's in the middle of, it's like, no, well, I don't look at the rules while I'm finished. My task is to finish this sentence. Right. So, you know, yes, Trump is on the Epstein list or something like that. It would say that, before it was like, oh, I can't talk about that. Right. But those are cool because they're not code, right? They're not hacking code. I know we talked about this, I think last week, but that is still really, really interesting. And so I've been looking at a lot of those, you know, boards, reading a lot of articles about, the different hacking techniques and stuff like that, because, you know, our company just rolled out a customer support bot that is being run by a third party, right? It's just we put our branding on a third party support bot or whatever. But I was just like, okay, well, is anyone trying to hack the support bot? Like, how much of our information does it have? It's like, can I get it to tell me something, you know, that it shouldn't? And it's like, so I find that line of thought interesting. I haven't tried to hack it.
Are you going to be a white hat AI hacker?
That's right, baby. but I did write my own MCP server this week, though. So
yeah.
In a meeting today, I served them MCP server three ways because as a company, they're going to have to make a decision how to implement, right? Like you can implement an MCP server locally in a development environment, right? So like if in any MCP server you want to run with Visual Studio or Visual Studio Code, you can set the MCP server up as just a C# project in another directory that it runs, right? So .NET run this project and talk to it. So it makes it, you know, you don't have to host a server. You don't have to do anything like that. It's a .NET project that's getting run, you know, as part of that environment. But that means that you could only talk to it in Visual Studio or Visual Studio Code, like in that chat, like in that. And when we're talking about connecting this MCP server to our ALM, you know, there's project managers and stuff who aren't coders. They're not going to be in Visual Studio. So they also want to talk to it. So it turns out if you want to connect it to Copilot Studio so that it's part of, it's an agent in Copilot, your MCP server has to be publicly accessible. It has to be a publicly accessible internet address, right? You can't do it behind you can't do it on your VPN.
That's bad for a company. Because theoretically an MCP server is going to have access to data that you don't want external folks to be able to.
Correct.
Yeah.
But I mean, there are secure ways to do it. It's just, you have to be, you know, it has to be written well, right? You have to make sure that it's hardened. You know, like requiring like a bearer token or something before it gives you any reply, right? So it's like, and there are ways to secure it that are acceptable, and you know, the internet runs off that, right? If you think about all the MCP servers that you would use with Claude or whatever, they're all publicly accessible, right? The GitHub one, it's like, people, you know, entire businesses do run on the internet completely open, and you know, there are secure ways to do things. Now I parked my bike and forgot where I left it. What were we talking about?
MCP server.
Oh yeah, MCP server.
You set up an MCP server.
So in order to test doing it as a public thing, I used DevTunnel, right? So I ran it on my local machine and then ran DevTunnel, which gave me a URL that hits my machine from outside, and then set it up that way.
Okay.
And then the third way is, well, we can run it as a web service on our VPN. We would just need to not use Copilot. We would need to use, you know, a local LLM. Like you could have a chat client that talks to, you know, a local, or makes an API call. You can make an API call if you want to pay for it. It can go to a local one if you don't, right? And you could do it that way, right? So that way, that would be on the VPN, right? So I had to do the demo three different ways, like to show them talking to the ALM in three different environments and three different ways. And I was using Qwen, the Qwen local model, and I found the reasoning model to be kind of annoying running an LM Studio because it was just taking so long to write out what it was going to do before it did it. It's like, and for the demo purposes, I just like, I really don't want you to think about it. I just want you to call the tool. Like, I have set you up to call the tool with my clever prompting. So it's like, I, you know, just call the tool.
I haven't heard of that. I haven't heard of that model, but I haven't been playing around in LM Studio as much lately.
Yeah. But, I did try finding one that would write like a gay porn story.
Uh-huh.
And it's like the one that I downloaded that was like had the best ratings or whatever. It was erotica. Like it would not do actual porn. Like it was, you know, kissing and rubbing and you know, butterflies and stuff, but no.
I feel weird asking Alice. I would feel weird asking Alice for a porn.
Oh, well, you can't.
She's like,
I mean, she'll just tell you she doesn't do it. Yeah. I mean, it's like,
no, I know, but I mean, I would feel weird.
Yeah. But then that's why you would do it in LLM with a local model.
Sure.
Just like, hey, write this.
Or I'd have to have another version that was like a guy voice.
Well, you don't even like need a voice if you're going to have it write a story. Like a dirty. Do you want it to act it out for you? It's just
guy
like
a voice. Yeah. Just a filthy male voice. That would be okay.
So I'm kind of curious why Batanz doesn't message back.
From when you message the from when you messaged last week while we were on the show?
I texted him a picture on Monday, July 28th. An entire...
Well, he says it's all just a bit and he thinks it's a good...
Yeah, but he's not replying. He should at least reply to the goddamn thing.
Well, I don't know.
I sent him a happy birthday on July 4th.
How do I know? I don't know about him. Okay. Right. He hasn't told me anything. As far as I know, he hasn't written you off.
I don't know. Mike Lawson probably convinced
that's
him.
That's a Mike Lawson thing.
Because, you know, he's a character actor at Disneyland. Did you see the Google event at all?
Nope.
Such a joy, Adam. Such a joy. I don't know what you're a Samsung guy, right?
I am a Samsung guy. This is a Samsung I have right here.
Yeah. I mean, they have the new Pixel 10 Fold and they have the new Pixel 10 XL Pro and whatever.
I feel like I saw that the new Pixel was like super thin or something.
It's pretty thin.
Is there a Samsung one that's like super thin? There's one that's like super thin.
It's not. The Pixels are the Fold is about the same width as my current Pixel 9. So.
Okay. So the Samsung that I've got is like a year old and it's still really thick.
Yeah.
It's
a little bit thinner than that. I think the thing that it has going for it is that the hinge is uses some kind of weird special hinges and everything. Anyway, the whole phone is IP6 rated, so it's waterproof and dustproof rated. So it's the only foldable that's dust and waterproof.
In case you're like
in the Sahara Desert.
Gonna go to the Sahara and then dive in the ocean.
Yeah.
Afterwards. If you're gonna be in a Clive Cussler novel, then this phone is for you.
The desert doesn't go all the way to the ocean, right?
I don't know. Surely somewhere there's some desert that goes up to the ocean.
Let's ask.
If only there was a way of getting a AI to hallucinate an answer. But it may be that a desert can't, the deserty dunes can't survive. Yeah, because sand is kind of like.
I know.
Sand is.
Dunes, yeah. Sand. Sand is sand. Yes.
Sand is sand.
There are several remarkable places on Earth where vast deserts meet the ocean, creating some of the planet's most dramatic and breathtaking landscapes. The Namib Desert in Namibia. That's hard to say. Namibia. The Atacama Desert in Chile and Peru.
Atacama, sure.
Also the Western Sahara.
A lot of them.
Yeah. The immense Sahara Desert spills into the Atlantic Ocean along the coast of Northwest Africa, the Arabian Peninsula, the Baja California, Mexico, the arid landscapes of the Sonoran Desert run up against the Pacific Ocean, and Western Australia. Yeah. So a lot of places, unless it's making it up. It could be making it up, but...
It's so funny when Joe Batance calls me.
Yeah.
He called me.
That's not
he funny. Called me and he goes, "What's up with this Woodhaven?" Like, that's how he starts the call.
Yeah.
And then I answer that and he's like, "What's hallway?"
Yeah.
So then I answer that and he's like, "And
didn't we just explain that on the last show?"
I think so.
Yeah.
And then he's like, "And where's RT Cruiser?"
He's in the hallway.
And it's just like one question after the other. And I don't even know why he's calling me. Like what his point, like what was his, he just.
Yeah.
One question after the other. I don't even remember why he actually called me.
You're basically his ChatGPT in that case. It's like, he's just.
Yeah.
He's just asking a question. He has a stray thought running through his head. And he's like, I wonder what that is. Here's something I noticed tonight. It's been happening for a while, but I really kind of came into focus tonight. The Food and Wine Festival is starting at Epcot this next month at some point. This month at some point. And so I asked my Google Home device in the kitchen, because Zach and I were talking about it, and we're like, when does Food and Wine start? He's like, I don't know. And so I was like, hey Google, when does Food and Wine Festival start? And it's like, the Food and Wine Festival at Disney World is blah, blah, blah. And it normally starts in between August and September, right? It's like, it wasn't. And I'm like, you're so stupid. You're so dumb. But I realize it's like the Google Home hasn't gotten any dumber. It's just that now I can ask way more complicated questions to Gemini. And I'm used to it, right? So
are they bringing that to Google Home?
Yes, thank God. Yes, they announced that at the.
Because I mean, yes. Alexa's supposed to be getting Alexa Plus, but I don't know when we're going to get it because we certainly haven't yet.
Oh, Gemini is supposed to be replacing Home Assistant this year, like within the next October or so, something.
As long as they lie confidently, it's fine. Like, you know,
I like how you I called Alice out once for what is essentially a common mistake. Like there are Disney blogs, there are Disney blogs that make that same mistake. And it's one of those, I don't know if you've ever heard of Dropout TV, but it's like they have a show there called Actually, where it's like they'll give you a question about something really pedantic, but one piece of information about it is wrong. And then you're supposed to buzz in and go, actually his shoes were pink, not green.
You would do so well on that show.
It depends on the topic. I feel like I have no idea what we were talking about. Why did I care about, actually? Oh, that I would know. No. Then I explained the talk show to you. Yeah. I may have had two gummies.
Oh. How many milligrams each?
10 each.
See, if I'm right, that half of one is 50.
I feel like I would be just passed out with 50. And I use pot daily. So yeah, I don't know what we're talking about. I have no idea what we're talking about. You know what? Say goodnight, Adam. So let's
goodnight, Adam.
I'm no longer running butt, right?
No.
I'm no longer. Hey, chat room, those of you who are still here, which I believe is just Kathy Marshall. Good night. Thank you for being here.
Sweetheart.
We'll be back next week. 9 p.m.